Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good day to you, and welcome to Westchester Talk Radio. I'm John Marino, and we are brought to you by, produced by Shark and Creative, and sponsored by a variety of our good friends around the area, including Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center in Buchanan. They promise to keep our lights on. They are literally working to keep our lights on, and they promise to support us around Westchester to keep us powered up right through April of 2021. With Polis Electric, where you are never in the dark, check out their podcast series, Live Wire, produced by Shark Creative. That's us. Find it on demand. LipolisElectric.com. It runs on WestchesterTalkRadio.com and can also be found on demand on our Westchester Talk Radio podcast page. And we are also brought to you by Park Sterling Realty. We are joined now by the mayor of the Village of Ossining, Victoria Garrity. Mayor Garrity, thank you for joining us here on Westchester Talk Radio. I know this is your final year in office. You wrap up your terms in office at the end of 2020, in December of 2020. You must have thought, well, final year, let's see how I can make a final mark and stamp on my legacy in Ossining. And then something called COVID-19 came along. As a public official, do you think there is any public official in America who could have planned the right way for something like this?
Well, at a local level, it's certainly very different than you see at the county, state, and federal level, but we all have a role to play. And I think that the aspects of Ossining, at least in our circumstance in local government, really what we had in place that we were able to draw on right away was a tremendous network within our community. The village, the town, the schools, not-for-profit organizations, so many community organizations that came together right away to make sure that we could address some of the immediate needs that our community would be experiencing.
Talk about the curve in Ossining, going up, going down, maybe has flattened a bit, and has it been worse than what you expected at the start?
As far as the infection rate, it's tricky to know. What we've had the benefit of is we have the Open Door Family Medical Center right, in fact, it's headquartered in Ossining, and they have a very vibrant medical center right in our downtown, walkable to most of our community. And they were at the forefront of doing the COVID virus diagnostic testing. So we've known right away, people in our community have known they can get tested, they can walk to get tested. Obviously, there's been a lot of decision-making about who gets tested early on because there's such a shortage of the kits. And so the only people who were getting tested were people who were symptomatic and who had been in contact with someone who was a known positive case. That's loosening up a little bit. So we're starting to see the numbers everywhere open up. We're also starting to see the numbers across northern Westchester rise, even though we may be seeing, there may actually be a slowing of transmission. The number of positive tests, we're going to keep seeing them going up because we're going to have more and more access to diagnostic testing. There have been more test sites set up in the area. Westchester County has just now changed the way that they are reporting the test results. Up until this week, they had simply been saying municipality by municipality, what is the total number of positive cases that we've seen in the last 2 months? One of the changes, or the big change that they made, is now they give us that number in parentheses, but then they also tell us within that number, how many of them are active cases? And so actually what we're seeing in the village of Ossining, because we've had testing from a very early day in this pandemic, anybody who got tested immediately got the support and the advice that they needed so that they could slow down the rate of transmission in their circle of contact. And that's been benefiting us. So, but it does make for a tough public relations conversation to have with the community because we have these high rate of positive results and it's scary. People feel like, why is Ossining at such a high rate? And actually what we have is a high rate of testing, which is what leads to the high rate of positive tests, of course. Whereas one of our neighbors, which has a very similar population and is just up the road a bit, but didn't have its own test site, until recently now, as things are opening up and more people are able to get tested, is the city of Peekskill. And they now actually have, while still lower number of total cases because they haven't had the same access to testing, they now actually have more active cases. We'll never really know who got sick when, exactly where. But it's helpful for us to see that so many of the measures that we've been taking in the village of Ossining to get the word out, to encourage the widespread compliance with the social distancing, with wearing masks, with all the behaviors that we know will slow down the spread, and with getting the help and support to people when they do test positive, that people need it, we are seeing a slowing of it, particularly in our community, and that's good news.
Is there a misconception about locales like Ossining not as densely populated as, say, a Peekskill, a New Rochelle, a White Plains, for example, that it can't happen as much here because people are more spread out?
Well, I mean, it is true that when people are more spread out, there's not as much infection. But the misconception would be that we're not densely populated in Ossining, because actually our population is more densely populated than Peekskill, which has twice the geographic region and slightly less populated. And we are more densely populated than White Plains. So we are very
Ossining
densely populated.
Ossining is more densely populated than White Plains?
Yes, it is. It is.
Who would have imagined that, especially on the water, right behind you, for example, right?
Exactly. Beautiful water. Area median income than a lot of communities. And that does two things. It means, on the one hand, people are much more likely to be transmitting it and being exposed to it, because if you live in an apartment building and you're sharing an elevator, you're sharing staircases, you're sharing doorways with lots of people, you're just going to have more exposure. If you are an essential worker and you cannot own a vehicle and do not have the ability to own a vehicle and you're taking public transit, again, that's another level of exposure that you're experiencing. So there is definitely a component of area of your median income in your community that's going to influence the amount of infection rate that you see. And it's not just the infection rates that we see, it's the reality of the burden of what people experience. And as we see in every aspect of our lives, people who have more financial opportunities have it easier in a lot of ways. It is a much greater burden for us to tell a family who lives in a small apartment and has no yard, Stay home for months, your children in house months, versus the family that has county. It's not nearly the same level of burden that those families are going through. So the complexity of everything in life is impacted by our income, and this type of intensity and crisis is really felt much more sharply by families who are living in dense communities and families who do not have a high income rate.
I think there's a misconception there, too, when you say you have to social distance, and we do. Yet, if you have six people packed into a small apartment, that's kind of tough to do.
Right.
Not yes. Unless you go stick yourself in the corner and turn your head.
Right. Well, and actually, when somebody does test positive, that is the recommendation. If you have plenty of rooms where you can isolate, then that's a very different level of ability to reduce the rate of transmission. So yes, there's on every level, it's more complex. It's a greater burden on families who have less to begin with.
Ossining Mayor Victoria Garrity here, Westchester Talk Radio. Westchester Talk Radio brought to you by people like our good friends over at White Plains Hospital. A special shout out and thank you to our heroes at White Plains Hospital and all of the first responders and the frontline people throughout the tri-state area. We produce a show for White Plains Hospital at Shark Creative. Yes, their podcast series, Health Talk. Find it on the White Plains Hospital website, also westchestertalkradio.com, plus on demand on the Westchester Talk Radio podcast page. We are also brought to you by Hightower Westchester. At Hightower, they leave no stone unturned, as they always go the extra mile to look for and find the right financial solution just for you. Hightower Westchester, you can look for their podcast series on demand at teams.hightoweradvisors.com/team/Westchester/media room. Hightower Westchester, your wealth managed to a fiduciary standard. And also brought to you by our friends over in Mount Vernon, Wartburg Healthcare and Rehabilitation in Mount Vernon. Austin Mayer, Victoria Garrity, thanks again for joining us here on Westchester Talk Radio. Talk about the impact in the village of Austin COVID-19 has had, now 2 months running.
Mm-hmm. It has. And we see it, our families are experiencing it with so much food insecurity, and our local businesses obviously are really feeling the pain of not being able to have customers the way they normally did. A lot of businesses have adjusted and to try and be able to continue to sustain some level of income during this unusual time. And the community has such a generosity of spirit. And we see that in people making masks and volunteer help with grab and go food, grocery, the first community to reach out to, Feeding Westchester. We've had the mobile food pantry going for 2 months now. We have several nights a week. There are organizations where we have grab and go meals for families. There is a meal train that people are contributing money to that is organized by volunteers, where the restaurants are making meals and then they're being delivered to healthcare workers at Phelps Memorial Hospital and at and our OVAC, our Austin Volunteer Ambulance Corps. And that has a, when there's an opportunity, when people are so eager to try and help and they want to donate money, that money is then used to pay for meals at a rate for that meal train that I'm talking about. It's $10 a meal, for example. And so the restaurants, they figure out what type of tasty meal can I make that I can package up, and the hospital worker can get it during their shift. And it's still some source of income. So there's a double benefit to helping our economy, helping our healthcare workers, and also to give people somewhere to direct that tremendous spirit of generosity that we have in Austin. We're all eager to see when we can come out of this and how we can come out of this and what businesses will still be with us. This picture that you see behind me is the Austin waterfront, which is a site where so many of us gather throughout the spring, summer, and fall months, and including to have big events and join together with each other and support our local businesses and local community organizations. And it's very likely we're not going to be spending much time down there this summer, and that's gonna hurt our local businesses. And you would think it might hurt the sense of community, because it's difficult for us to be together in programs like that. But fortunately, we are seeing that social distancing is really a physical distancing. The social connections are still, they're finding new avenues and new pathways. And you know, meetings like this where we're on a screen together, or where we are connecting with each other in new ways, are helping people make new connections. And that's something that's really positive. There's so much that we need from the federal government, that our businesses need, that our governments need, our local governments need from the federal government. And we're all waiting to see exactly how that is going to shake out and what the impact of that's going to be.
You have to take care of those who are unemployed now. You have to take care of those who are hungry. You have to take care of the local businesses, as you pointed out, too. That means the budget is involved. I'll bet the last time a budget crossed your desk, you thought, as the mayor of the village of Austin, it's the last and final time I get to dot the I's and cross the T's and do my little doodling all over, whatever it might be. You might have to do this again, right, with the approval of those who helped run Austin with you, other town officials?
Correct? Yeah, so how that works in the village of Austin, actually, I do get one more, because we do our budget in a calendar year, so we don't pass it until December.
Right, but I was going to ask you that. You know, you have that window there until the end of the year to rework this.
Yeah. Right, well, for our 2020 budget that we're in the middle of, we have almost every week for the last month and a half sat in our public meetings and gone through different aspects of the budget that we still have some ability to make a decision. Made, and we just did it. We spent 2 hours at the beginning of our Wednesday night meeting talking about every capital project that we thought we were going to do this year. And if we're still going to do them, are we going to pay for them differently? And there are a number of items we said, you know what, let's put it on hold, take another look in 6 months. Let's put it on hold, take another look in 12 months. We have a fund balance in the village of Austin that is very healthy. That's something that we are fortunate to have. Most municipalities do not have as healthy of a fund balance, which is essentially our savings account, as we do. And what that allows us to do is to draw on that when we plan next year's budget, What we anticipate is we're going to have much less revenue coming from things like sales tax revenue, because who's shopping? So sales tax is going to be, that revenue is going to be way down. So to make up for that shortfall, we want to make sure we still have money in savings to be able to do that. So those are the types of things we're considering right now. We might pay right. Interest rates are incredibly low right now. And the thing is that savings account, that fund balance, I want to have money in there, not just for this year when we're planning, but for next year and the year after that, when I'm not sitting in this anymore, because we're going to be feeling the impact of this financial devastation for 1, 2, and 3 years out. As the market, because most of our revenue comes from property tax assessments, and as the market takes a hit, we'll see what happens to the real estate market. But if the real estate market tanks by this summer, then we're going to see a major drop in the assessment value, the overall assessment rolls that we have in our municipality for next year's assessment rolls, which is going to impact us 2 years from now. So we really have to be thinking long term. And right now, the goal is save as much money as possible, because we have been very fortunate to be able to maintain a 0% tax rate increase for 4 years. I know it doesn't get much more interesting than for your listeners than to hear about a tax rate increase, but it's a 0% tax rate increase for 4 years, which is
terrific. That's tough to do 4 years in a row, but you did it.
We did it, and it's a big deal, and we'd like to be able to maintain that. We are a community that has a high effective tax rate, which means while you might be able to get a really nice house for $400,000 in Ossining, the actual tax bill that you pay for that might be higher than a $400,000 house in another community in Westchester. So why hold our rate down in this whole community to live in? And when suddenly we have this tremendous shortfall that we anticipate in our revenue, a logical thing to do would be to raise the tax rate, and we're really trying not to do that, because right now, so many people are hurting financially and are just not going to be able to sustain more bills than they already have.
You might pay, for example, in Ossining, more in taxes on a $400,000 house than you might pay in, say, Park Slope, Brooklyn, maybe? And I joke about that to some extent, and yet that is the case.
Definitely,
in
the city. No. Absolutely. Oh, I'll tell you. So I lived in Astoria before I moved to Ossining. My husband and I, we had a one-bedroom house. We moved here in 2006, top of the market, bought our current 1,500-square-foot house for $530,000. At the same time, we sold our one-bedroom tiny house in Astoria for $520,000. So almost the same price. By the way, it's not worth anything near that today, but because we bought at the top of the market. But our taxes went up 7 or 8-fold. We paid less than $2,000 in taxes in Astoria. And now we pay, when we went to over $10,000 instantly when we moved here. So no, the tax rate in Westchester County doesn't compare to the tax rate in New York City. The problem is I have 2 children and I would have had to pay to send them to private school. So we would not have been in a better financial
situation. It all balances out in its own way, right?
Yes, or we're much better off here.
Redo your spreadsheet, as they say in the business, right?
Exactly.
There you go, to make the numbers work. You talk about a fund balance, you talk about a surplus of savings. Are you worried that it might actually run out? I see you kind of alluding to that, but hoping that's not the case, hoping that will not be the case.
Our fund balance? No. And there's a recommended amount that you maintain in the fund balance.
So you have to have that in there no matter what, and that prevents that balance from running out.
There was a time when the state used to cap the amount of money that you could have in the fund balance because they didn't want governments to hold on to too much fund balance. They learned after the 2008 recession, if a community can hold on to fund balance, let them hold on to it, because you never know what's going to happen. And thank goodness they did, because we actually have a healthier fund balance than would have been recommended years ago. They've loosened what that is. And so we're one of the fortunate communities that's been able to maintain this fund balance. I think we're going to be fine. But it is causing us to look at it differently. And I have to say, one of the benefits of having these budget discussions in April and May and March even is that all of the elected officials, I have more time on the village board than most of my colleagues. There's only one other trustee who's been on for as many years as I have been. We have 2 that have just been on for, you know, they started a few months ago, January 1st. So, and this is on the job training. screening, when you're a local official, you did not come out of experience. And so that's a benefit for our current elected officials, that they're having this opportunity to speak in depth about what all of the expenses are and how we make these decisions and how it fits into the bigger picture. And I actually love budget season. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And so from that perspective, I enjoy this process very much. Obviously, I wish we didn't have this reason to be doing it, but I am enjoying the process itself.
And that gets us to the end of this year. You enjoy the budgetary process. You enjoy being the mayor of the village of Ossining. How many years in office now?
It is 8 years in office. The first was a term as a trustee and the last six as mayor.
Okay, so what do you do to replace this after you're gone?
Oh, well, I have to say it's going to be hard to find any position that is as enjoyable and meaningful and fulfilling as this job is. But that's what I'm shooting for. And it's not going to be in elected office, at least not anytime soon. I had a real talk with myself, I guess, last fall. And I wrote a list of all of the things that really were important to me in life. And very few of them were related to my career. But there were two items that were. And one of them was, I want to do something that is meaningful and fulfilling. And the other is, I want to contribute financially in a significant way to my family. And the mayor of Ossining does not get a real salary. It's nowhere near a living wage. My husband's on unemployment right now. He's making significantly more money than I am. So it's a stipend, essentially.
Sign of the times, right?
It's a stipend, essentially. And anybody who's a local elected official is doing it because it's a way to serve our community. And so I love it. But I was in middle school, and years from now, I'll start paying college bills. So it was really a practical decision and something that I thought was important for my family. That said, I'm not all that, you know, this isn't what I thought I would be doing in my last year. Now I'm giving updates on a daily basis to the community on how many people are infected with this virus that is just devastating our country and the world. So it's not how I anticipated this year, but it's not how anybody anticipated this
year. Less than 7 months to go. What do you need to get done in that time? What does Victoria Garrity have to get done between now and December 31st? No ifs, ands, buts, COVID-19.
Oh. So I have to find another job.
So, that too, yeah.
But as mayor, I guess what's really important is that I help my colleagues on the board be prepared to be as effective as possible. This is something that I've done full time, which is a luxury. Most people don't get to serve in local elected office and treat it as a full time job. And what that's given me is a tremendous amount of institutional knowledge and a really deep understanding of so many of the things that are important to local government when it comes to planning, when it comes to budgets. And so I'm spending most of my time, I'm having many more one-on-one conversations trustees than I ever have before. Conversations, trustee, something that I do. And I'm also having many more conversations online and through social media, because that's how we all speak to each other, with community members, having these daily updates. And that's a way for me to be much more in touch with what's going on. Something that's been a focus for me since I came into office was communication. And that's what I'm probably most proud of accomplishing, is transforming the way that we communicate in local government. And that is on so many fronts. And so continuing that legacy and making sure that we continue to have this very high standard for how accessible local government is to the community. That's definitely something that I will continue for the rest of the year. And I'm proud to have established very firmly for our community.
Village of Ossining Mayor Victoria Garrity, thank you for joining us in Westchester Talk Radio. You will be missed after the end of the year. Let's hope we talk somewhere along the line between now and then. I know how dedicated you've been through the years, and I do want to congratulate you on that. Thanks for all you're doing to help Ossining make it through COVID-19. Thank you again, Mayor.
Thank you.
Mayor Victoria Garrity, Village of Ossining, here on Westchester Talk Radio. Westchester Talk Radio is brought to you by our good friends at Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center in Buchanan, where they promise to keep the lights on, keep us powered throughout Westchester right through April of 2021. Lipolis Electric in Pelham and Westchester, and Pauling up in Dutchess County and in Manhattan. With Lipolis, you are never in the dark. By Park Sterling Realty, we salute our heroes at White Plains Hospital, all the frontline workers putting their lives on the line to keep you safe during the COVID-19 pandemic. White Plains Hospital, we thank you. Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard. And Wartburg Healthcare and Rehabilitation in Mount Vernon, we thank you one and all for making what we do here possible at Westchester Talk Radio. I'm John Marino, Westchester Talk Radio, westchestertalkradio.com. That's all one word. We are produced by Shark Creative. That is Shark with a C, not a K. S-H-A-R-C Creative.com from Westchester Talk Radio.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio.
Powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative.
And made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.